And if you have your little booklet with you, I hope you do. Page number 46 tonight, page number 46. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 133, verse 1. Of course, you've got it right here in the little booklet. If you just want to look at it there, that would be fine. Psalm 133, verse number 1. We're looking at church members, the membership of our church, and we're looking at different things concerning the members of our church. Going back to page number 38 is where it began, and we looked at the reasons to become a church member. Then we noticed the requirements to become a church member, the receptions, or how you can become a church member here, received as a member. And then we're looking at the responsibilities right now of a church member. If you choose to join this church and you feel the Lord is leading you to do that, we've noticed, first of all, the first responsibility on page 42 is to attend the services faithfully. And we looked at several reasons why we ought to attend God's house faithfully. Then page number 45, support the church financially and doctrinally. And then page number 45 as well on the bottom, this is where we left off last time, is pray for the church and its leaders. I hope you're doing it on a regular basis. I hope you're doing it every day of your life. I've learned as pastor that just because you have a smile on your face doesn't mean that life is a bed of roses. And may I say this, when it comes to the staff of the church, you don't know sometimes how the devil's working and how the devil's fighting and all these kind of things. And we as staff members covet your prayers. And I hope you're praying for us. I hope you're praying for me, praying for my wife, praying for the children, praying for Brother Gary, his wife and children and grandchildren. God bless them. That's a blessing. Pray for Brother John and his wife and children and grandchildren. Pray for Brother Bob and his children. Pray for the staff. Ask God to put his power upon our lives. We need God's power. We covet God's power. I want God's power. The Lord's been reminding me even today, did you mean that? Did you mean it when you said you want my power? And I do. I mean it. I want his power on my life. So pray for us, please. Let's pray together, and we'll pick up with page number 46 with this next responsibility of a church member. Father, we love you. Help us tonight, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The next responsibility of a church member is to maintain a spirit of unity and harmony. Let me say this to you. God is pleased with a church that is in unison. I'm talking about in harmony for the right things and with the right things. Now, we're not talking about being in harmony with bad doctrine. We're talking about being in harmony in things that please the Lord God of heaven. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and pleasant, how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Now look at these verses here with me and see if you notice something. Romans 12:5, Ephesians 4:25 talks about us being members one of another. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 talks about serve one another. Now he's talking to churches here. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens. By the way, that's a great verse. And may I say this to you, it is good to have a church family that helps bear each other's burdens. For instance, I told Miss Annis Bernard today, I said, now you can expect the church is going to unload on you. And that's exactly what the church should do. We ought to unload on her. You ought to call her, write letters to her, send her cards, go by and make a visit, take a meal to her, let's shower her for the glory of Almighty God. What a faithful woman of God. What a dear man of God who's went on home to be with Jesus. She looked at me today when I got there in tears. What a dear lady of God. And she said, I have no doubt that he's with Jesus. I have no doubt that he's with the Lord. They said that the Lord took him so quietly today. Miss Annis told me, she said, I was praying that he does not suffer and that the Lord will just come and take him. And she said, the Lord answered my prayer. Now, he suffered some, but today, she said, he took maybe 3 or 4 breaths like he couldn't breathe and fell asleep in Jesus. She's rejoicing about all of that. Not that she's without her husband, but that the Lord answered her prayer. Now, we ought to bear her burden. That's the will of God, friends. This is the will of God for a church family. If Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:16, admonishing one another. Hebrews 10:24, consider one another. Are you hearing some words that are being repeated here? James 4:11, speak not evil one of another. 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, edify one another. Ephesians 4:2 and Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another. Romans 12:16, have the same mind one toward another. Romans 12:10, 1 Timothy 5:22, preferring one another. Hebrews 10:25, exhorting one another. All of these texts, John 13:34, Romans 13:8, 1 Peter 1:22, 1 John 3:11 and 23, 1 John 4:7-11 and 12, love one another. 1 John 1:7, fellowship one with another. James 5, grudge not one against another. Hebrews 10:24, consider one another. 1 Corinthians 1:10, perfectly joined together in the same mind. 1 Corinthians 3:9, laborers together with God. Philippians 1:27, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Now you put all that together and I ask, any questions? There are no questions here. It is the will of God for God's local assemblies that represent His body not to have division. He wants them to be unified. He wants us to be in harmony with one another because that's what rightly represents Him. Now, I want to ask you this question, and this is not a confessional time. We're not Catholic, okay? You don't have to confess to me. Aren't you glad, by the way? Amen. But let me ask you a question tonight. Don't answer this out loud. Don't shake your head yes or no. Just quietly in the heart. I'm talking about right here in your heart where only God sees. Is there anybody in this church or the church that you are part of, just in case you're visiting with us, but I'm talking to this church tonight, is there anybody in this church that you are not in unity with? Is there anybody in this church that you're not in harmony with? I'm talking about in things of God. Now, I'm not talking about being in harmony with them because they're out smoking doobies, okay? I'm not talking about that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the work of the church here. Is there anybody in this local assembly that you just, to put it straight, you really just don't like them that much? You would be just fine to sit on the other side, and if you never see them, that's okay with you. You listening to me? If there's anybody, not just in this church, but on this planet that I'm talking about, your attitude's that way toward another Christian, your heart's not right with God. Amen. And my heart wouldn't be right with God either. God desires His children to be at harmony with one another. Now, can I say this? I don't know of any division in this church. Praise God for that. But that does not mean there's not division somewhere. I'm just not aware of it. You see what I'm saying? I hope it's the case. I hope that there's no division here at all, none whatsoever. But if there is, it is the responsibility of members, if they know about it, let's correct it. Let's get it corrected. That would please the Lord. So we see a responsibility here of a church member is to maintain a spirit of unity and harmony. We close this point as far as the responsibilities of church members with this last point here on page number 46, and that is church members have a responsibility in getting involved in fulfilling the Great Commission here and abroad. And let me say this to you. Notice the word and. It's not here or abroad. And it's not here and or abroad. It's here and abroad. What this means is this, right here in Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He's speaking to the church of the day, and he says, go and teach all nations. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, talks about receiving power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. And we shall be witnesses unto him both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost part of the earth. It doesn't say in Jerusalem or Judea or Samaria or the uttermost. It doesn't say that. It says in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Let me say this to you. It is God's will for every child of His to be involved trying to win people to Him in their Jerusalem, in their Judea, in their Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. It's God's will for you to be involved in all of that. Let me say this to you. If somebody gives to faith promise, thank God for it. I don't know if you do or not, but if you're doing that, praise the Lord for it. That's a good thing. That's a right thing. Above your tithe to the local church, a great offering to get involved in would be faith promise, because not a dime stays here. It goes across the seas, across the nation, to help plant local churches, support, talking about independent Baptist missionaries, all these kinds. It's good to give to missions. It's right to do that. But if that's all you do and you don't, and you're not helping this church reach our Jerusalem, you're missing it. You're misunderstanding Scripture. God desires every child of God to be a Great Commission Christian. And what that means is that you ought to be involved in Jerusalem. You ought to be involved in Judea. You ought to be involved in Samaria. And you ought to be involved in the uttermost part of the earth. So let me ask you a question. Are you helping fulfill the Great Commission at this local church? Before you can answer yes to that, you must be involved in our Jerusalem. That means that you must be trying to actively win people to Christ or get the gospel to them here in the Tri-Cities. In Judea, a little bit further out, that would be maybe planting churches, which we're trying to do in America. Samaria, what we believe that is talking about, see, the Jews hated the Samaritans. And according to my study, when he said, and in Samaria, he's talking about the down and out people, those that people just would rather stay away from. You know, listen to me. Those that people would just rather just leave them alone. I don't want to get anywhere near them. I'm talking about like a prejudice toward them. God loves them as much as He loves you, and He loves me, friends. He loves all people. And we ought to be involved in trying to win people to Christ. We ought to be involved here in Jerusalem. You ought to be involved in Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost part of the earth. You ought to be giving to Faith Promise, and maybe even taking mission trips. Now, taking a mission trip is not for everybody. We're not trying to get everybody to go, but if God would lead you to go whenever we take these mission trips, go. It will change your life. It'll change your life. If you have never been out of the country, if you've never gone out of the country to visit a third world, or I'm talking about a third world country or something like that, like India or places, I'm just talking about anywhere outside the country. I'll tell you something else it'll do. If you go outside the country, it'll give you a greater love for your homeland. Amen. If you don't appreciate America, go visit another country and come back and see if you're saying the same thing. I'm telling you, thank God we live in the United States of America. But we ought to be involved getting the gospel around the world. You ought to be involved in that. I ought to be involved in that. And I want you to know, as your pastor, that whatever God lays on our heart to do, we want to do it. Now, I'm telling you, I mean that with every ounce of my being. If God will show us what to do, by God's grace, we'll do it. I mean it. Lord, show us. Show us what to do. Show us where to start a church this year. Show us what mission field to visit next. Show us whether we help this guy over in India or not. Show us what to do, and if He'll show us, we'll do it. And may I say this to you? You ought to be involved in that. You ought to be involved in all of that. By the way, it's a privilege. It's a privilege that God has given to His children to share the gospel around the world. Powerful what you shared in teachers' meeting, Brother Gary, about being entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That God has put in our trust the gospel. Now, what are we doing with it? See, if He's entrusted us with the gospel, He does not put it in the hands of His children to sit on it. That's not the reason He gives it to us. He does not give us the gospel to change it or update it or delete anything. He entrusts the gospel to us because He knows that gospel has changed our lives. And he knows that even though a lost and dying world can try to argue with the gospel, it cannot argue with what the gospel has done in your life. Do you understand that? May I say to you that anybody can take the Bible who's a disbeliever, who says, I don't believe the Word of God, and try to refute it. Now, they're going to lose, okay? But they can say, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. That's your opinion. They can say that all day long about Scripture, but they cannot say that about what God's done in your own life. They can't do it. You can look them right square in the eyeball and say, let me tell you what the gospel has done for me. And they'll say, that's just your opinion. Oh, they can't say that, friends. It's changed your life. So we've been given the gospel. Now let us take it around the world. May I tell you the reason we're going to Brazil? Yes, we're going to help Brother Graham. Yes, we're trying to do some work down there. Yes, I'll be carrying materials to them so it's done right, and I'll keep my hands off the hammers and so on. Yes, I know that, but the main reason we're going is we're trying to get the gospel in a different part of the world. And God's pleased with that. God's pleased with that. When the group comes back home and I'm staying over, I'm flying over to Goiânia, and I guess that's how you pronounce it. I'm going to be there for a three-day all-out evangelistic crusade, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. I get on a plane Monday, come back home, be worn slap out, but I'm begging God to give me souls. Let me see somebody saved. God, give that to me. Help me see somebody trust Christ as their Savior. If it's just one Brazilian, it's worth my trip, friends. It's worth my trip. I mean it. And I want you to pray with me. God, give the group power. Give them power. And whenever the Lord lays it on your heart, on that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, what day is that? That's the, let's see, we leave the 13th, go to the 20th. That's the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. I covet your prayers. Be praying, God, help our, give him power like he's never had. That's my desire. That's what I want. And I believe God's going to do it. I believe the Lord's going to give it. I do. I'll tell you why. The devil's fighting too hard. Amen. He's fighting too hard. And God's trying to do something big. Will you pray? Do you realize that's a way that you can get involved in the Great Commission? Is pray for the missionaries. Pray for those who go. Not only give to them, but pray for them. Hey, only God knows. Only God knows what our missionaries are dealing with week in and week out. Only the Lord knows. You don't know what it would do for them to take this Wednesday night prayer sheet. This is what I do. God helping me. After Wednesday night, I sit down at my computer and I write all three of the missionaries and I say, I wanted to personally write you and let you know that we highlighted your ministry, we had special prayer for you, and it is our privilege and honor to support you on a monthly basis. And almost without fail, if it gets to them, they respond back. And they say, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for the prayers. Pray, give, go. Hey, come out of the comfort zone. Even at Walmart, come out of the comfort zone. Take a gospel tract out and hand it to them. And say, if something were to happen to you today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? You may be amazed. They might say, no, could you tell me? You say, well, if they rip it up and throw it in my face, that's not happened to me in all these years. But if it did, so what? So what? If they would take it and rip it up and hand it back to you, your hands are clean for that soul, isn't it? Amen or not, friends? Hey, again, I remind you. There's two things that you can do here on earth that you cannot do in heaven. One of them is sin, because that's a perfect place. God dwells there, and sin's not going to enter the gate of that city. But let me pause there. I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. Because not only of who I'm going to see, the Lord, but because of the things that's going to have to stop right outside the gate. No, you can't come any further than this. Amen. No more trials. No more troubles. No more death. No more sickness. No more pain. All of that will be passed away. Hey, you can sin here. You can't sin there. The only other thing is soul winning. You can go soul winning here because there's lost people. You can't go soul winning there. Everybody's saved. It's going to be a wonderful place, by the way. Amen, friends. Now, if there's two things you can do on earth that you can't do in heaven, and one of them's sin and the other one's soul win, which one do you think he left you here to do? Now, you've heard me say that. Many of you have heard me say that before. That just kind of narrows it down here a little bit. He's left us here to share the gospel. That's what he's done, friends. What am I doing to get the gospel to as many people as I possibly can in as short a time as possible? That's the will of God. And every person who calls this church your church home ought to be involved in that. Amen? You know it's right, correct? You know that's right. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? You know, I say this facetiously. In other words, surely would never have to do this, but it wouldn't bother me to have somebody, I'd have to pay somebody every Wednesday and Sunday because the tracks are running out so much that they're having to fill the track rack often. Because you just get in the habit when you come in and go out, you're just grabbing tracks to give them out. I mean, friends, give gospel tracks out. You don't know what the Lord can do with one of those things. There was a gentleman, this has been several years ago, I'm not going to give his name. You may or may not know him. He's not in this church, not a member here or anything. But one day he was out at Daniel Boone High School, and he was apparently walking or jogging around the track. This several years ago. This is when pastor, preacher last was preacher was pastor here. And somebody from this church had put a gospel track from our church on the Daniel Boone track. Now, somebody could have gotten it and thrown it down. I don't know how it got there, okay? But it was a track from this church. He tells a story that he kept that track and put it in his glove compartment, if my memory serves me correct, and he kept it in there for a while. And one Saturday morning, he was out driving. He had that gospel track. God was dealing with him. Saturday morning, early. And he said, basically, I don't know if anybody's there, but I'm going to go to that church this morning. Well, we have Saturday morning men's prayer meeting. When he got here, he met preacher in his office. And the way the story goes is preacher led that man to Jesus Christ. Because he found a gospel track from this church on the Daniel Boone track. He kept it, and he just couldn't get away from it. Now, I'm not saying go to the Daniel Boone track and just throw tracks out, okay? I'm not saying that, okay? I beat you to the punch there, didn't I? But I am saying this, don't underestimate the power of a gospel track. I'm telling you, who got me started doing this? Mr. Curley. I was a sixth grader, and he had challenged me to take gospel tracks. I used to take them to school. I'd put them on water fountains. I'd put them here. I'd put them there. I remember one time I went to the Exxon here. And I was in a habit, I was young, I had zeal without knowledge, if you will, and I would go to the beer section as a teenager. And what I would do is I'd fold a track up, you know those cartons and so on, and I'd stick it down on that track and I'd reach in there and grab those cans and just spin it down inside of it, like this. Well, apparently a preacher got a call on that, and if my memory serves me correct, he knew exactly who to call. He was like, Jody, are you doing that? You know? I wasn't very bold in person to hand somebody a track. But God was starting me off somewhere. He was starting me off by putting it there and putting it here and putting it here. May I say this to you? I wouldn't plan on going into detail here, but this is okay. I think this may help somebody. Somebody may be here tonight and you say, Jody, I know that I need to be sharing the gospel. I know that I need to be telling people about Christ. I know I need to do that, but I'm scared to death. Or I just feel like I can't do it. I don't know what I'm doing. Let me give you a couple things to help with that. Number one, if you'd like to go with somebody who's experienced, we'll be happy to partner you up with somebody. But let me say this to you. If you're saved, you're ready. Let me say it again. If you're saved, you're ready. May I say this to you? When people start talking to me like, I just don't think I can do that. I just don't think I can. There's a lot of I talk there, okay? And that's why I approach certain people at certain times. I'm talking about like Miss Charlotte and so on, who's told me, I just don't think I can do that, and that's why I want you to take it. I'm going to tell you something. God blesses obedience. Has God told you to give the gospel, yes or no? If you're not giving it, you are disobeying. Is He going to command you to do something that He's not going to enable you to get done? Yes or no? No. If you are saved, you know what to tell somebody else about how to get saved. All you got to do is tell them your story. Tell them how you got saved. Tell them your personal testimony. I'm not talking about, oh, I was crying, I was weeping, I got down on all. Don't get that detail, because somebody might think if they're not crying, they're not going to get saved. I'm talking about generalized. Tell them the gospel through your own story. Let me tell you how I started witnessing. I'm talking about person to person, not gospel tracts. I was already giving those out, just laying them out where people could find them. When I first started talking to people, I was scared to death. I was, I think, a seventh grader. I can't remember exactly how old I was, but I was a sixth or seventh grader when I tried to witness to my first person. It was down at where the Daniel Boone softball field is now. It was a little league field. It's where I played little league and so on. It was down there, and there was a young man standing there. I knew him. He knew me. And I walked up beside him. I didn't know what I was doing. And I said, S. I said, S-A. You can imagine what he's thinking, right? S-A-V. S-A-V-E. He said, saved. I said, S-A-V-E-D. He said, saved. I said, are you? Long story short here, the best I knew how to witness, he told me he was a Christian. And I remember this almost like it was yesterday. I couldn't help myself. I ran up on the hill and started jumping up and down. I was so excited. I was so excited. That's how I witnessed to people. For probably a little while after that. Now, I don't do that anymore, okay, friends? In other words, I don't knock on the door and somebody answers it. S! This is not Wheel of Fortune, you know what I mean? All these kind of things. Why did I share that story with you? I shared that story with you to tell you, just obey the Lord. Do you realize that I still get nervous when I go out knocking on doors? Is that bad for the pastor to tell you that? I don't think so. I still get nervous when I knock on a door. And I back off and I say, Lord, help me get my name out. Because I'm a stutterer, remember? Lord, help me to give it straight. I'm not saying this out loud, especially if I've got somebody with me, but under my breath. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Can I challenge you with something? You know what the right thing to do is, right? Then put the Lord to the test. You say, I'm scared to death. Do it anyway. I don't know what I'm doing. Tell your story. Can I go with somebody experienced? Absolutely. Call us. We'll partner you up with somebody. We'll do it. God helping us. This is the will of God. Amen. Now, you know this is my heartbeat. At least I trust it's my heartbeat. And since I'm here added in the book, I'm just trying to nail it down again, nail it down again, nail it down again. And let me say this to you. I'm not going to get any further than this, okay? I thought I might, but I'm not. Let me just talk to you here. Okay? I have learned that every person has a sphere of influence. What I mean by that is that every person here has people within your sphere of influence that God wants to use you to reach. It could be your family. It could be your coworkers. If you're on a team, it could be your teammates, your classmates. Everybody has a sphere of people, a circle of influence, and people are in that circle that you are the best person to reach them. What I'm saying to you is that there is a man in Tri-Cities that his children can reach him a whole lot better than a pastor of a church can. And I'm saying that grandchildren have influence on grandparents, and parents have influence on children, and coworkers have influence on coworkers, and bosses have influence on employees, and employees have some influence on bosses. And I'm saying, who is it that God has placed in your life that He wants you to reach? He wants you to give them the gospel. He wants you to share your faith. He wants you to tell them. And you say, I've never done it, then make them your first. And watch God give you peace. You know what's going to happen when you come out of your comfort zone and you give the gospel like you know you should? Hey, again, I'm just talking to you tonight, okay? My mind's in 1,000 different places. But anyway, this tonight, let me just give you a personal experience, okay? And I've had this more than once. You ever been out in a public place and you walk past somebody and the Lord says, give them a tract? And you didn't do it? Been there. Guilty. Don't matter, walking by and it says, sure, I mean, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to your heart. See that person over there? They're sitting there right now for you. Give them a gospel tract. Tell them about me. And you start kind of making excuses. Well, they're just too busy. They're on the phone. Or you kind of look this way. And ever happen? Been there. And when that happens, I feel like dirt. And I should. Flip it over. You ever seen somebody out and it's kind of uncomfortable and God says, give them a tract. Talk to them about me. And you go out of your way and you start talking to them and you ask them how they are and all these kind of things. You give them a gospel tract, invite them to church, ask them if they know the Lord, whether they're saved or not, or let you go through the gospel or not. Fast forward and you're past that. And it's just like the weight of the world is off of you. Because you obeyed God. You know what the Lord's looking for at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church? From the pastor all the way through. Just people who say, yes, Lord. You said do it, I'm going to do it. Simple, right? Basic, right? Change your life. It'll change your life. If from this point forward you say, Lord, whatever you tell me, my answer is yes. And two of the things that we looked at that are responsibilities of church members, but really responsibilities of Christians, is maintain a spirit of harmony and unity here in this local church and help fulfill the Great Commission here and abroad. And I thought I may get a little bit further than that. I'm not going to get any further than that tonight. May the Lord really speak to you. Really speak to you. And may you get involved in helping us reach people with the gospel. I want to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm just going to ask just to begin to play through softly. We're not going to have any singing tonight. Just play through softly. A hymn of your own choosing, if you'd like to do that, or if Brother Gary wants to help you there, that'll be fine. Father, would you take this and would you use it? It's nothing new under the sun, Lord. This is no new truth here to this local assembly. We know that we need to be in harmony and in unity. And we know that you want us to share the gospel. Lord, help us to go from knowledge to action. Help us to be faithful. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to start this where I believe the Lord would have me to start it, and that is with your salvation. Is there anybody here tonight that you've come to church but you've never come to Christ? You've come to church but you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. And you say, Jody, pray for me. I've got a concern in my heart for my soul. And if I died like I am, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But I sure would like to be. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody at all? You say, pray for me. I'm not 100%. Let me ask you this question. How many of you say, Jody, there is somebody in this life that God has his finger on in my life. Now, it could be that they've done you wrong. It's not that you've done them wrong. It could be that they've done you wrong. And the Holy Spirit of God is speaking to you about this first point tonight, about maintaining a spirit of harmony and unity. And you say, Jody, God is speaking to me that I need to make something right with somebody else in this life. It could be that that just means writing a letter. Maybe it'd be too touchy to talk to them in person, but you just want to send a card and just ask them to forgive you, or tell them that you forgive them or whatever. But you say, Jody, God's really speaking to me about this. There's somebody that I need to get right with because I know God wants us to be at unity. Is there anybody like that? Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest about that. May the Lord help you. Have you tonight say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And I know that I need to be sharing the gospel. And when you share these stories tonight, I need it. Because I need to start obeying. I need to start obeying in this. Now, all of us could raise our hand to this question, all of us. But if you tonight say, Jody, would you pray for me? God is speaking to me about my witnessing. I need to give the gospel in a more faithful manner. And say, would you pray for me that I'll be faithful in this area to share the gospel? Gospel tracts, speaking to people, whatever. But if God is speaking to you in that way, and you really mean it, you're not playing games, would you raise your hand? Be an honest person about that. Yes. That's a lot of you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. I want to invite you to come and pray and ask the Lord to help you. Where you could start tonight is going by the track rack. It's hanging on the wall out in the lobby. Get you a couple of tracks and say, God, help me to give these tracks out before Sunday. Help me to have my eyes open, to be soul conscious, and to understand when you're speaking to me, and help me to give people the gospel. Start somewhere. Start somewhere. Father, take the thought, I pray. In Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. If you want to come talk to the Lord, come on. Come on now, would you do it? And say, this is for me. This is what I need. Help me, Lord, come out of my comfort zone. Help me while I'm even nervous and maybe even a little scared. Help me just to obey, to do what's right. To give the gospel, to be faithful. May this church go forward like a mighty army, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is His will, no doubt about it. May the Lord bless it. She's playing through. You can look this way. I want to just give you just a quick update on the lot across the street that we voted on several weeks ago. I want to remind you of a couple.